Well, amen. Thank you for that, Andy. And thank you for those songs. I do greet each one of you this morning, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to bring you a greeting of love from a congregation there at Blessed Hope to y'all here this morning. And, yes, it doesn't seem quite right to be up here. We come here to men's leadership to hear the great man of God teach us, and somehow this doesn't seem quite right. But God is good. I like that song we just sang, and also I was going to comment on that faithfulness of God. I was wanting to reflect a little bit on the goodness of God, and if you'll allow me just to go down memory's lane a little bit, reminisce a little bit. It's about exactly a year ago, maybe 2 days later than this, that we went to Bolivia. I almost can't believe it that it's only a year ago, but it was a very good experience for us. I will admit that maybe none of us were really excited about going at that point, but we're very glad that we went. And I guess if I can pick a little bit, I think Eva was the least excited of us going, and I think she's very glad that she went, and we are too. So we had good time down there. We have good memories of it. We made lots of new friends. Before that, I didn't know very many of you at all. I still don't know nearly all of you. And it's a lot of things happened since a year ago. We went to Bolivia for 3 months, had a good time there. We came back. And we had 2 children get married in that time, and Eva starting a courtship. Yeah, it's just amazing. And I was just thinking on the goodness of God. And He does bless us here in this life as well, whether we're looking for that or not, as we try to do His will. So, yes, I was wanting to bring a word on the goodness and dependability of God, but for some reason, I couldn't go forward with that, and I guess Andy's already done it for us, and this experience that I shared here is some of that too. So, instead, my title this morning, if we put a title to it, is What Must I Do to Be Lost? Now, that's sort of a weird title for a devotional, I guess, but I don't really know that many of you. Maybe as I look out across here, there's more people that I know than I thought I did. But I don't know that many of you. Please don't think I'm pointing fingers at anybody. I'm not thinking of any specific person as I share what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. And just a little disclaimer, I guess you could call it. We'll be looking at some different verses, some here and some there. And I'm just going to basically look at the verses. I'm not going to be going into the context surrounding those verses. I'm confident that you're very familiar with each of the passages. So, what must I do to be lost? The short answer, of course, is nothing. We don't have to do anything, and we'll be lost. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, Jesus said, "And from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." This sounds like there's some effort being put into it. And I think we can safely conclude that if we do nothing, we won't take the kingdom of God and gain salvation, and we will be lost. This thing about water, as water automatically goes downhill, so a person, if no effort is applied, will follow the dictates of the flesh. Consider with me as we think about our children. How would our children turn out if we did nothing to train them? Always let them do what they want. It would be a disaster. So last week, or maybe it's been 2 weeks ago now, some of you sat through a week of meetings, and I'm sure there was a lot of good, strong, straight preaching there. And maybe there's someone here who sat through those meetings and made it through without breaking, without coming through all the way. Again, I don't know most of you, so I don't really know. But maybe there's an older person here that who never really fully committed to following the Lord Jesus. Well, if we do nothing, then nothing will change. That's pretty simple to understand, but it's also clear. So let's look at some different ways of what doing nothing could look like. Sorry about clearing my throat like that. You see, if we only do what comes naturally and what is pleasing to the flesh, in reality, we're doing nothing, because what comes from the flesh is automatic. We don't have to put any effort into that. So if you will, turn to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, and we'll read verse 9. So, Ezekiel 33, verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. It's very clear here that if we do nothing, if we continue on in our wickedness, if we don't turn, we will die. We will die in our sins. And I believe it's important to turn 180 degrees. Now, for some of you younger ones, might not know what that is. 180 degrees is turning completely around. Say I was going in this direction, and I turn 180 degrees, I'll turn completely around and go exactly the opposite way. And that's what we need to do. There's an old saying that goes something like this. If you don't change your direction, you'll end up where you're going. And that's very easy to understand. So if we're headed away from God, towards hell, and don't turn, you'll end up there. Don't kid yourself. But sometimes we convince ourselves that we are turning, but we only turn maybe 10 or 20 degrees. So instead of like going here, we're headed in this direction, we might just head a little bit in this way. It's not turning clear around. And that won't do it. We must turn the full 180 degrees. We were going away from God, and we want to turn and head back towards Him. Jesus said, whoever doesn't forsake all can't be my disciple. We can't just slightly change our direction. We must turn completely around. So let's turn now to Acts chapter 24. Acts 24, and I guess we'll read verses 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." So here's a good way to be lost. It's called procrastination, putting it off till later. And the problem is, usually, later never happens, never comes, it never happens. Felix heard some powerful preaching here, and it caused him to tremble. but he didn't act. He didn't turn towards God. Instead, he put it off. He did nothing, and it helped him nothing. We don't read of Felix ever being converted. So when was the last time that you heard his sermon that convicted you about something? You were reminded of this thing or that thing that isn't like it should be in your life, and you purpose to do something about it tomorrow. And tomorrow came and you got distracted, and maybe it's not done yet. That's called procrastination, and it's a good way to be lost. There's some sayings here. One is, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Or, the grandest intention is smaller than the smallest good deed. If we think about it, good intentions don't accomplish anything. As long as they're just an intention, they don't do anything. The smallest good deed is more than that. And we do have good intentions sometimes of actually doing it, but often we don't follow through with it. Turn on over in Acts to chapter 28. And we'll read verses 26 and 27. So Acts 28, verses 26 and 27. Saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Thinking this is where procrastination can take us sometimes. We can hear a powerful sermon, and we don't get convicted about anything. Our ears get dull. My ear's dull right now. It's sort of something wrong with it. Our heart gets hard. And if you look at verse 27 there, the scary part is that here it's not just negligence anymore. It's not just a matter of intending to do something sometime and not getting it done. There's an intentional shutting of the eyes and ears and hardening of the heart. If we procrastinate too much and push it off, that's what will happen to us. The cost to self looks too high. And they do this so they won't be convicted and converted, trying to save the flesh from being crucified. Let's recognize this and not go there. But we need to realize this happens gradually, just one little step at a time. So for another way of how this might happen, let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Here again, looking at things that can cause us to do nothing concerning our salvation. Luke 14, and I guess we'll read from 16 to 20. Then said he, Jesus, I think this was, unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So this section might apply more to older people that are in the thick of making a living. But there's certainly distractions in young people's lives as well. It just might come in a different form. The thing we must look at here is, where's my heart? What is most important to me? The things of God or the things of this world? And we might need to enlist the help of a brother, which we're a brother, and ask him what he sees in my life. Because the Bible tells us our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and we can't really trust it. So, are you being distracted by the things of this world? Mark 4:19, it describes another way how this can happen. It's basically the same, but a little different. I'll just read it here. And the cares of this world, this is in the parable of the sower, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. God wants fruit from our lives. God expects it. And God deserves it, doesn't he? He sure does. So are these distractions, the pressures of life and lusts of other things and whatever all was mentioned here, causing you to procrastinate, to keep from turning that 180 degrees from your life of sin, causing you to harden your heart and shut your ears? It's a very real thing. And let's be serious about it and do something about it. What must I do to be lost? The answer is nothing. We don't have to do anything, and we'll be lost. And if we persist on in doing that, in procrastinating and hardening our hearts, Hebrews has some very sobering news for us. So let's turn to the book of Hebrews. We'll look at a few more passages. And then we'll be done here. Hebrews chapter 2. Thinking about if we keep pushing it off and procrastinating and not dealing with issues in our life. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll start and read verse 2 and 3 for right now. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Isn't that how it was? Look at the record of the children of Israel. When they sinned, sometimes God killed thousands of them right on the spot. And now, verse 3 here, he's asking us a question here. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So now we have Jesus speaking to us, not Moses. And what is the answer to his question here? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Can somebody tell me what that answer might be? Can we escape if we neglect it? No, we can't. We won't escape. Very serious. Granted, God doesn't often strike us down dead like he did back then, but we won't escape. let's jump up to verse 1 now and read it. We have some instruction there, some hope to keep us from going there. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's give earnest heed and not keep pushing off. So another little passage here in Hebrews, let's turn back to chapter 10. Chapter 10, and we'll read we'll read 28 through 31. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. If there was two or three witnesses, somebody got killed for not listening to Moses' law in certain things. Now, verse 29. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I think this is in the context of willfully continuing on in sin, but it's a very serious passage. And turn one page on back to chapter 12, verse 25. 12, verse 25 in Hebrews, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven." We have the words of God, the words of Jesus teaching us. I guess you realize we're not interested in learning how to be lost. But if we see any of these tendencies in us, this happening in our lives, may it be a warning to us. Let's wake up and repent. Let's turn that 180 degrees and seek the Lord with all our heart. And like I said, I thought it seemed like an inappropriate opening, but may it help us to give our full attention to Brother Paul as he shares what God has laid upon his heart. And may God richly bless you, brother, as you come.